1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Columbia protests cleared. I'm Daria Albinger. About four dozen students have been arrested as New York City police moved in tonight on the campus of Columbia University, where anti-war protests expanded to the occupation of Hamilton Hall, a building on campus. ABC's Aaron Katursky says officers moved in wearing riot gear.
They moved in with very heavy equipment. Officers carrying zip ties, knowing they would likely be making arrests, which they are doing. The goal here is to clear out the building that had been occupied, Hamilton Hall, and also to clear out the tented encampment.
Students who don't disperse could be expelled. Some of the protesters moved about 20 blocks north in Manhattan to the campus of City College. Columbia has asked the NYPD to maintain a presence on campus through May 17th, which is after the graduation ceremonies take place. This is ABC News. It's a change that could potentially millions could welcome.
Sources tell ABC News the Drug Enforcement Administration is planning to recommend reclassifying marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug alongside heroin and ecstasy to a Schedule 3 drug like steroids and testosterone. President Biden has long supported this move. He said this back in October 2022.
Federal government currently classifies marijuana as a Schedule 1 substance, the same as heroin and LSD, and more serious than fentanyl. It makes no sense.
The president at that time asked the Justice Department and the Department of Health and Human Services to begin this review process. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Mike Tyson's fight against Jake Paul in Texas this summer has been sanctioned as a competitive boxing match rather than an exhibition. A 98-year-old woman who escaped her Russian-occupied territory by walking 6 miles alone in her slippers with a cane has been reunited with her family. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the street because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Consumer groups accuse big grocery retailers of price gouging. Angela Hoffman is the president of the group Farm Action.
It's one thing to raise your prices to cover higher expenses, but what these companies did is use the pandemic as an excuse to exploit the American people who needed to put food on their tables. And the FTC report shows that they're still doing it.
That report finds retailer profits rose 7% in 2023 compared to 5.6% in 2015. Wisconsin's annual Pothole Patrol is underway. Governor Evers was in Menominee Monday to launch a new round of pothole filling. As usual, the governor used the occasion to remind drivers to slow down for road crews as roadwork season ramps up again. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Game 5, the Bucks and the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA Playoffs. The Milwaukee Bucks at home tonight with their backs to the wall, down 3-1 to the Pacers. Doc Rivers.
Here's the deal. We have 2 games left at home. They have 1 game left at home, right? That's how you can look at it. And so the first thing is we have to win the first game at home. And then we can talk about the rest after that.
Baseball, the Brewers down 1-0, bottom of the ninth, when Jack Bowers gets called for interference with the catcher, manager Pat Murphy, after getting ejected from the game.
They have to call it. It's backswing interference. You know, I'm not a rules expert, but the rule says that if on a swing on a third strike, the backswing interferes with the catcher catching the ball, then you can call backswing interference. That backswing happened after the ball was already past him. So, in my opinion, that's a bad call. They made a mistake and they changed the game.
That's the Brewers, Pat Murphy, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and thunderstorms winding down in the overnight. Breezy west winds developing and lows near the 50-degree mark. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies, still on the breezy side. In the late afternoon, high temperatures will top out in the lower 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers, who joins me to discuss upcoming events at the Overture Center in Madison. And we'll talk about Casey Kasem's bloopers. You've never heard swearing like this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, hey, happy Tuesday. Donald Trump threatened with jail explicitly. That's kind of the beginning and end of the story. Judge Mershon this morning held a hearing on Trump's, what would you call it? Obviously contempt of court, but shall we say contempt of the judicial process, contempt for the American law, and ordered him to remove a bunch of his social media posts, I believe 8 of them, maybe 9 of them, and hit him with $9,000 in fines for 9 specific violations. But then in the order, he goes on to say, you know, that he can only hit him with a maximum $1,000 fine. This is a contempt of court statute that must go back to the last century, or maybe the century before the last century. And so, you know, he just comes right out and says these fines are, I'm paraphrasing here, these fines are so small that they're inconsequential to a wealthy man like Donald Trump. And therefore, if he continues to persist in this behavior, we're going to have to consider putting him in jail. Yep, in jail. Now, wouldn't that be entertaining? Meanwhile, should President Biden take a lesson from Franklin Delano Roosevelt about the Supreme Court? I'll tell you about that in a minute. Also, is Biden's chance of losing the election growing? Michael Moore thinks so. I'll share that with you in just a moment. And a crazy alert, why is DeSantis kissing the ring of Trump after he made fun of people who kissed the ring of Trump? We'll talk about all those things in the first hour here. In the second hour of our program, the anti-abortion freaks have hit a new low. They're now telling people in Missouri not to sign the petition to get abortion rights on the ballot this fall because they say the petition collecting people are actually running a scam to steal people's identities. There's just like no bottom for these people. Also in the second hour, millions of Americans lose their internet access today because of Republicans in Congress. And geeky science. You've heard about the paleo diet and the carnivore diet. Well, turns out cavemen mostly ate plants. I'll tell you about that in the second hour. In the third hour of our program, the fake electors probe is growing. Interesting stuff going on in Michigan. And a warning as a dolphin has been diagnosed with bird flu, which is, you know, like downright dangerous stuff. But, you know, all that said, as it were, I want to get into this this issue of President Biden taking a lesson from FDR about the Supreme Court. Everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, but, you know, a lot of people who've even lightly brushed a study of history from the 1930s know that in 1937, Franklin Roosevelt threatened to pack the court. His specific plan was to make every justice who was over 70, and that was 6 of the 9, by the way, to make every justice who was over 70 collectively give them one vote, leave them on the court, collectively give them one vote, call them justices emeritus, and then since it would have been 6 of them, add 5 new people to the court. And, you know, and just basically going forward, there would be that functional, you know, age 70, you must either retire or become a Justice Emeritus. And the reason that this happened was because in 1933, 4, 5, and 6, during those 4 years, this group of right-wing conservative justices, they were called the Four Horsemen. It was Pierce Butler, James Clark McReynolds, George Sutherland, and Willis Vandevanter. The Four Horsemen, you know, just struck down everything that FDR did. This was kind of an extension of the Lochner Court going back to the 1890s, rather, that had struck down multiple state cases where states had passed things like minimum wage laws and child labor laws. And, you know, the Supreme Court just struck them down, said, you know, if 10-year-olds want to work in factories, that's up to them or their parents. If an employer wants to pay 20 cents an hour instead of $2 an hour, that's between them and their employee. You know, the classic conservative stuff. So, but then they started striking down pieces of the New Deal. And, I mean, major pieces of legislation in the New Deal. In 1935, they struck down FDR's Agricultural Adjustment Act that would have saved a lot of family farms. And then they struck down the National Industrial Recovery Act, which had a whole bunch of really good pieces to it that protected labor and enforced antitrust laws and things like that. These rulings basically gutted Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal legislation. I mean, the Agricultural Adjustment Act, for example, was passed in 1933 with 73% of the House and 64% of the Senate voting for it. I mean, that is a big deal. And they struck it down. The National Industrial Recovery Act, they had this famous blue eagle logo. It was law for a couple of years. People loved it. It had passed the House with 80% of the vote. It passed the Senate with 70% of the vote. But the Supreme Court used their power of judicial review to overturn both of these laws. So then in 1937, the National Labor Relations Act, the Wagner Act, which gave unions the right to exist, the legal right to exist, and the Social Security Act, which, you know, gave us Social Security, gave old age security to people over 65. They were, you know, the court had accepted cases in 1937 on these two cornerstones of FDR's New Deal legislation. And pretty much everybody knew the court was going to strike them down. So Franklin Roosevelt, on February 5th, 1937, just, you know, 2 months after his landslide reelection and being sworn in for his second term. And that, by the way, the second term is important. I'm not suggesting Biden do this now. I'm suggesting he do it if he gets reelected, which is increasingly an if, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, too. But Roosevelt went to Congress and said, I want to do this court packing thing where everybody over 70, collectively, they all end up with one vote. And it worked, basically. I mean, you know, the majority of Americans were actually in favor of this. And historians are still arguing over whether it would have passed Congress. My own opinion is, and I've done a fair amount of reading on this. I delved into this topic, you know, at length for quite a period of time when I was writing The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. And I read several books about the history of that era and, you know, dug into the documents and things. And I think it would have passed. But FDR just abandoned it because it wasn't needed anymore. On March 9th, 1937, this is, you know, a couple of weeks after he presented this thing to Congress, he goes on the radio and he does this fireside chat where he talks about how basically it's a three-horse team. He's using, you know, metaphors that made sense in the 30s when 10% of America lived on a farm. Now it's less than 1%. And, you know, he said that basically you get this three-horse team, the Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. And they should be pulling together to move the country forward, but the Supreme Court is not pulling their load. In fact, the Supreme Court is doing the opposite. He said the courts have cast doubt on the ability of elected Congress to protect us against catastrophe by meeting squarely our social, modern social and economic conditions. And then when people said, hey, you're trying to pack the court, Roosevelt said, you know, if by that phrase the charge is made that I will appoint justices who will not undertake to override the judgment of Congress on legislative policy, that I will appoint justices who will act as justices and not as legislators, if the appointment of such justices can be called packing the court, then I say that I, and with me, the vast majority of the American people, favor doing just that now. So, 3 weeks later, on March 29th, 1937, a minimum wage law in Washington state came before the Supreme Court. The case was West Coast Hotel v. Parrish. And this was a nearly identical law to the New York law, the New York minimum wage law, that the court had struck down in 1936. But now it's March of 1937, and Roosevelt has been threatening the court. And so, sure enough, Owen Roberts, who was one of the, he wasn't one of the four horsemen, but he was the guy who most frequently voted with them, he changed his vote. And they upheld the National Labor Relations Act as constitutional, and Social Security. And I'm suggesting that Biden needs to do the same thing. He needs to be launching a pressure campaign against the Supreme Court. Now, whether he should do it now, and, you know, whether that would cause political problems, you know, a huge backlash from Republicans, or whether he should wait to do it after the election, you know, I leave that up to you and to him and whatnot. My personal recommendation is that we talk about this now, that he get ready for this, and that if he wins and he holds the House and Senate, that he do that next year. So we can talk about that. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Is Joe Biden going to win? It's up in the air right now. I'll tell you about that, too, in just a moment. Debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Being a mom is a full-time job, but even the most exhausted moms can have trouble sleeping. So this Mother's Day, buy mom something that can transform her sleep. Cozy Earth Luxury Bedding and Sleepwear. And right now, I can save you 35% on Cozy Earth products. Just use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth only uses fabrics and materials of unparalleled quality in their bedding and sleepwear. Your mom will love the feel. She'll be cradled by superior softness the second she goes to bed. And Cozy Earth knows the secret to better sleep, temperature regulation. Their bedding and pajamas keep your body at a comfortable temperature no matter what the weather. That's my favorite thing. Plus, every Cozy Earth purchase is backed by their 100-night sleep trial and 10-year warranty. Yeah, brunch is nice, but this Mother's Day, give mom the luxury and sleep quality she deserves. Treat her to luxurious Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. Remember to use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, to save 35% at CozyEarth.com. And welcome back. Michael Moore was on CNN yesterday on Caitlin Collins' show, The Source. And she started out with a CNN poll that showed that 80%, more than 80% of voters under 30 disagree with President Biden's handling of the Israeli-Hamas war and Israel's strikes on Gaza. They want Biden to cut off aid to Israel until Israel stops killing civilians in Gaza. And more, you know, reacting to that poll, Michael Moore said, I know we're speaking to millions of people, but I'd like to speak to one particular individual, and that is President Biden. Now, Michael Moore was the guy, he was one of the leaders of the movement in Michigan during the primary for people who want a change in Biden's Israel policy to vote undeclared. And over 100,000 people in Michigan did just that. So this is a guy who's got his, you know, his ear to the ground. He knows what's going on in Michigan. And to some extent, he's driving what's going on in Michigan. So he said, here's what he said. He said, his chance of not being reelected, I think, at this point is so great because of those numbers. He's talking about 80% opposition to Biden's policies among people under 30. Because of those numbers and because he's losing the youth vote, he's lost the Arab American vote in Michigan. He says to Biden, he says, close the bank on Israel. Demand an immediate ceasefire. He said, we need an immediate ceasefire. It is wrong. The mass slaughter of innocents, of children, of women, of the elderly is a sin. It is absolutely against what we believe. I know that, and you, Mr. President, know that too. He went on to say, we're going to lose the election. We're going to lose Michigan if we don't turn this around. I'm increasingly agreeing with Michael Moore. I've, you know, people call and say, oh, my God, and I say, you know, it's only April. Well, now it's going to be May tomorrow, so, you know, it's functionally May. And so, you know, there's 6 months to go, but time is passing, and the election's getting closer, and Trump's numbers are growing in the black community and in the Hispanic community in particular. And in part, that's because, you know, the major Hispanic television network has now been taken over by right-wingers. And so they're pumping out pro-Trump propaganda, essentially, continuously. They're becoming like Fox News. And they're available in every Spanish-speaking household in America, or pretty much. And you've got over 300 now radio stations that have been bought by right-wing billionaires that are now being programmed in Spanish language with right-wing talk show hosts, Spanish language versions of Rush Limbaugh. And so support in the Hispanic community for Joe Biden, which was at 45% in 2020, is now down to around 10%, and according to the CNN poll. And that's spooky stuff. I mean, this is a real, real danger. So, you know, I just hope Biden gets this together soon. Over at the Washington Post, the editorial board notes, calling for a ceasefire and recognition of a Palestinian state is one thing. Celebrating or rationalizing the horrific violence on October 7 or cheering on Hamas and other extremist groups is quite another. We're seeing now, you know, with this occupation of this building at Columbia University, and, you know, people wearing kafkayas, I believe that they're called, the Arab headdress, and, you know, waving Palestinian flags and whatnot, using Hamas rhetoric. In some of these protests, the protesters have gone way beyond saying stop Israel from killing innocent people in Gaza, and they have gone fully to supporting Hamas, which is, you know, anti-Semitic in the extreme. And I've been, you know, trying to defend these protests. It's getting harder and harder as, you know, more and more of these students become outspokenly anti-Semitic. I realize there's still the outliers. They're still in the minority, that the media is painting this with a broad brush inappropriately. But that's exactly what the media did in the 60s when I was involved in these kinds of protests. And, you know, it just, it concerns me tremendously. You had this, you know, Kamani James saying Zionists don't deserve to live, etc. I mean, this is a dangerous, dangerous moment for the politics of America. And Netanyahu is really doing damage to Biden.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Make no mistake about it. Netanyahu knows he's doing damage to Biden and is relishing it. Netanyahu desperately wants Trump back in office. Dr. Marty Goldstein, first of all, I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans. Tell us about your background.
Well, I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973, but I had my own conditions that were genetically based. I was not eating well. Conventional medicine had no answer. I started to eat well. I got better. And that was the wake-up call to then apply it to what a dog and a cat should be really eating. Most of the pet food industry is not biologically appropriate to what a dog and a cat would eat, period.
Generally speaking, what are the best things that you can feed your dog?
If they're healthy, well-to-do, and they don't have any medical conditions, about 80% meat and the rest some vegetation.
What should you avoid feeding your dog?
Meat byproducts are not really meat. I don't even want to mention what they contain.
What makes Dr. Marty's dog food different from all the other premium dog foods out there?
Preservatives.
Yeah.
My food is preservative-free. There's many of the foods out there have preservatives which destroy the intestinal flora, and they are immune-suppressive. My food meets all APCO requirements with only food. There's no additives, so we are literally simulating what a dog and or a cat would eat in nature with this. It's called food. What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
One thing that brings me joy is not only how much they love this, but how well they're doing just through the food. I mean, my life is complete. Well, that's all I can say.
That's great. Thank you, Marty.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartmann, Air America host Tom Hartmann shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartmann shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartmann.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartmann, available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartmann here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Caral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hi, friends. Tom Hartmann here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartmann program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at TomHartmann.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my best of the rest of the news, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartmann.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartmann.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. A crazy alert for the day. Ron DeSantis. This is so funny. He said this was in January, right? This was, 4 months ago, 3 months ago. Ron DeSantis went on television and said, "You could be the most worthless Republican in America, but if you kiss the ring, Trump will say you're wonderful." Right. So yesterday, DeSantis went to Mar-a-Lago and kissed the ring. And Trump went out in front of the cameras and said, "Ron DeSantis is wonderful." Yes. These guys, I mean, you know, it's like the GOP, there is no coherent governing principle beyond let the billionaires run the country, let the big corporations run the country. I mean, that's essentially it. This has been the conservative mantra basically for the entire history of the United States. The real hardcore conservatives, the Federalists, the Whigs, the Republicans, the Democrats in the South, certainly from the 1870s until the 1930s, or until the 1960s, excuse me. And even today, now they're Republicans. They changed their party affiliation after the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act were passed in 1964 and 65. But, this is what's going on. The Republicans represent two interest groups, giant corporations and morbidly rich individuals. And the Democrats represent all the rest of us. And, you know, the Supreme Court is clearly on the side of the, it's a Republican majority. What do you expect? All right, let's get your thoughts on all this. John in Harlem, New York. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi. We speak again. I love your program and stuff and that. And just two things. You know, I'll be brief because I know other people want to call. I totally agree with what you're saying about the Supreme Court, but we need to add to that term limits. How can you have anybody serving almost for life in a democracy? So we need to consider that. And also, I agree with so-called packing the court. Abraham Lincoln had 10 Supreme Court justices, and FDR was trying to do the right thing. We can have at least 15 odd number justices. Yeah. So that's something to consider.
I think 13 is probably a justifiable number because we now have 13 district courts or appeals courts.
That's good. That's good. But you know, people are superstitious about 13. I'm not. I think that's a good.
I like
idea.
13.
Yeah. And the second thing is, I was thinking about a T-shirt that could be printed for the Democrats against this idolatry of Trump. I'm an Anglo-Catholic, and I'm a church person, but it's insulting to us who are of organized churches. And the T-shirt would be this. It's from Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." And then in capital letters under that, we could say, "Thank God I'm woke." Underline it. And exclamation point.
Like
and
it.
Underneath that, save democracy, vote Biden.
Right.
And that's it.
The New Testament calls on us to be woke.
Yes.
I like it. I like it. And it's true.
Answer.
It's true. I mean, was Jesus' message was a woke message by any definition. Yeah. John, thank you very much. That was a good one. Shirley in Van Nuys, California. Hey, Shirley, what's up?
Hi. Well, we're not voting for Biden or Trump. Neither one has any integrity. Let's get to Biden. And thank God for the people at universities who are out standing up against the slaughter. That's what it is,
yes,
of Palestinians.
So you're going to cast
and
your vote
the other
for Trump,
thing
huh?
Is, nope, not at all. He has no integrity
who are
either.
Who are you going to vote for?
We're voting for Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah, you're casting your vote for Trump, Shirley. Sorry, but that's a vote for Trump. Carlos in Carson, California. Hey, Carlos, what's on your mind today?
Well, good morning. Listen, I was thinking about these student protests going on in the universities, and it caught my attention. Some people within it are chanting death to Israel, death to America, whatever. And I wonder to myself, why would Palestinian groups chant that when it makes Israel look like the victim and it makes the Palestinians look like the aggressors, the barbarians, and that? And then the answer was staring right at me. Some of these groups are funded by George Soros, who's a stooge for the Rothschild banking family, the supreme Zionists.
Carlos, your anti-Semitism is thick today. I'm sorry. That is an absolute nonsense. There is, you know, this whole Jewish conspiracy to run the world and the Rothschilds and George. It's nonsense, Carlos. Get over it. Holy cow. Kevin in Mount Tremper, New York. Hey, Kevin, what's on your mind today?
Well, hi. Thank you for what you do and your patience.
Sure.
What's on my mind is 14th Amendment. He can't serve. Why is the GOP and the entirety of the media pretending he can?
You're talking about the paragraph 3 of the, or section 3 of the 14th Amendment says you can't serve if you committed insurrection.
Yes.
Well, that has to be determined by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court doesn't seem inclined to care, frankly. Or at least the six Republicans.
So everything is dependent on this, on our antique justice system?
Yeah, it's antique and it's modern. I mean, you know, it's got dimensions of both. But, you know, the simple fact of the matter is that when Colorado said Trump can't be on the ballot, the Supreme Court took, 2 weeks to react and say, yes, he can. But when the question was, can Donald Trump be prosecuted, that question came up in November, and it took them until April to even have a hearing on it, and they're probably not going to render a decision on this until June or July. So, I mean,
clearly
a
business, arrangement and not politics.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it is politics, but it's the very worst kind of politics. It's the bought off politics. So. All righty, Kevin, thank you for the call. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, you know, when I call in, it's usually on Monday because I call in at work. But last week I listened. I always listen, okay, Tom? And it was just remarkable the way you handled some of the callers and how you stay true to the truth, how you have fidelity to facts.
It's not difficult, Dave. If you know what's going on, it's not that big a challenge to stay true to the truth.
Well, let me tell you why it actually is, Tom, and I have a lot of empathy for you, and look, the truth is about as popular as kidney stones, okay? No one really is interested in it right now. And it's just these are very emotional topics. And look, you told this caller that said, you know, I knew it was coming. The Hamas is hiding among human shields, the population, all the stuff we heard during the Gulf War and the War on Terror, okay? Now, you told him killing of women and children is against the laws of armed combat, the LOAC, right? And your laws of war. And you're right, 100%. Anyone that can read can see that. Now, the thing is we use this euphemism, collateral damage. It is simply a euphemism, right? Well, if it's a euphemism, why can't anybody do anything about it? The simple truth of the matter is the United States Defense Establishment, we do wars of choice, we always have. Now, without getting into that, what does that mean? Well, to bring Benjamin Netanyahu under arrest under the International Criminal Court, George Bush or Vladimir Putin, you've got to get through their militaries and their security establishment, and it's next to impossible.
Right.
And also, I just want to say, you don't have to listen to Tom Hartman, as brilliant as he is. You certainly don't have to listen to Dave, but I'm trying to tell you, listen to David Petraeus. If you kill and slaughter the civilians and you use this euphemism, collateral damage, you will never catch the villains hiding among the population.
Well, not only that, you're going to create 10,000 more of them.
Yes, and it's like shooting through a wall. If someone's on the other side of the wall and you have a 22-gauge rifle and you try to shoot them, it's not going to go through the wall. It is common sense, right? And here's the thing. In the Morehouse College, the student said, He voted for Biden, but he may not, because all this money we're spending in Israel could be spent here. Look, again, I go back to, we do war as a choice. It is folly. Okay, if we do not spend money David Petraeus wrote a paper, money as a weapon system. Okay, if you do not spend money in these areas, you are going to be on the battlefield. All right, you are going to no longer be at Morehouse College. You are going to be in the foxhole on the battlefield. And the reality is, Tom, that also in the defenders of Palestine is Iran. Iran, they speak Farsi. In Palestine, they speak Levantine Arabic. They can't even talk. The Palestinians and the Iranians have a hard time even communicating. This goes all the way back to the Muslim Brotherhood and what happened in Egypt with Morsi.
Roots of Al-Qaeda as well. Dave, thank you for the call. 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And it now is 45 minutes past the hour. Back with more of your calls in just a minute. Being a mom is a full-time job, but even the most exhausted moms can have trouble sleeping. So this Mother's Day, buy mom something that can transform her sleep. Cozy Earth Luxury Bedding and Sleepwear. Right now, my listeners can save 35% on Cozy Earth products. Just use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth only uses fabrics and materials of unparalleled quality in their bedding and sleepwear. Your mom will love the feel. She'll be cradled by superior softness the second she goes to bed. And Cozy Earth knows the secret to better sleep, temperature regulation. Their bedding and pajamas keep your body at a comfortable temperature no matter what the weather. That's my favorite thing. Plus, every Cozy Earth purchase is backed by their 100-night sleep trial and 10-year warranty. Yeah, brunch is nice, but this Mother's Day, give mom the luxury and sleep quality she deserves. Treat her to luxurious Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And remember to use the promo code TOM to save 35% at CozyEarth.com.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
This is a special report from ABC News. Columbia protests cleared. I'm Daria Albinger. About 4 dozen students have been arrested as New York City police moved in tonight on the campus of Columbia University, where anti-war protests expanded to the occupation of Hamilton Hall, a building on campus. ABC's Aaron Katursky says officers moved in wearing riot gear.
They moved in with very heavy equipment. Officers carrying zip ties, knowing they would likely be making arrests, which they are doing. The goal here is to clear out the building that had been occupied, Hamilton Hall, and also to clear out the tented encampments.
Students who don't disperse could be expelled. Some of the protesters moved about 20 blocks north in Manhattan to the campus of City College. Columbia has asked the NYPD to maintain a presence on campus through May 17th, which is after the graduation ceremonies take place. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Stand up, fight back. Stand up, fight back.
University of Wisconsin-Madison leaders say they'll talk to protesters about their demands only after they remove an encampment they put up on campus. Protest leaders tell reporters any decisions they make depends on how the UW responds to their demands to cut all ties with Israel over the war in Gaza. Local law enforcement leaders say more needs to be done for mental health in Wisconsin. Altoona Police Chief Kelly Bakken.
Not only can we have those crisis centers, but we need to have a community approach to make sure that these people are getting the support that they need within their communities.
Bakken speaking about election year crime issues with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Jon Bon Jovi cannot seem to stop talking about how much he cheated in his marriage. The rumors apparently upset his wife, Dorothea, but he still can't keep his trap shut. The singer says his wife has always been there for him when he's fallen. The couple has been together since high school. The rock star and writer of many overwhelmingly mediocre songs said during a primetime special on ABC, he's a rock star, not a saint, and then alluded to having hundreds of girls while married, saying he got away with murder. Hey, idiot. You didn't get away with it if you're confessing on national TV. Deadline.com reports that Tilda Swinton will join Colin Farrell in the cast of The Ballad of a Small Player. The film tells the story of a gambler hiding out and laying low in the Far East who meets a kindred spirit. Filming for the Netflix production will start in Asia this summer. You can also catch Farrell in the film noir series Sugar on Apple TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and thunderstorms winding down in the overnight. Breezy west winds developing and lows near the 50-degree mark. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies, still on the breezy side. In the late afternoon, high temperatures will top out in the lower 70s. It's 57 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com, and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome in Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss 3rd District congressional politics and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
In New York City is Keith Davidson. Keith Davidson was the attorney for both McDougal and Stormy Daniels. This is before Avenatti got involved. By the way, Louise and I watched the movie last night on, I believe it was on Netflix. It might have been Hulu. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure it was on Peacock. It was called Stormy. And, you know, it was like a 2-hour documentary about Stormy Daniels, you know, Stephanie Clifford's life. It was absolutely fascinating. I mean, she lost her family. She lost her husband as a result of Trump going after her. It was wild. Anyhow, you might want to check it out. But that's what's going on. Is her attorney at the time, Davidson, is testifying right now. Daniel in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Daniel, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? I had a quick comment, then I want to talk about Ukraine. You were talking about DeSantis kissing the ring of Trump. But didn't the current vice president essentially do the same thing with Joe Biden to take that VP nomination? I mean, she called him a racist, called him a whole bunch of things, and then just said, oh, it was a debate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, people clean up their politics when it's necessary, I guess.
Yeah, I mean they're politicians. They're essentially all the same.
No, they're not.
But
there are some very big differences between Democrats and Republicans, Daniel.
That's all right. You can keep telling yourself that. It's all right. Ukraine, I'm concerned because nobody's ever established a clear, like, path to victory. Hey, we want to do A, B, and C, and this is our path to victory. They just keep throwing money at the problem.
No, they absolutely have. And you know, our Secretary of Defense and the President of Ukraine have laid it out. They're going to push Russia back out of Ukraine, and Russia's going to have to back down. I mean, it's that simple. And it's not like it hasn't happened before. The Vietnamese did it to us.
But they're just going to keep. So you're telling me they're going to back down, but they're going to use North Korean missiles in the process and create a whole other axis of power over there?
I don't know what you're talking about, Daniel.
I'm talking about Russia, China, North Korea.
They have already formed a new axis.
You know, one of your callers earlier.
They have already formed their axis. And that is who
that's what I'm saying. This axis is only going to get stronger against the West.
No, I don't think so. I think that if we give up on Ukraine and walk away and say, yeah, you can have the largest country in Europe, no problem. And it's a democracy. Screw them. If we say that, then that axis of evil, as it were, is going to, then you're going to see China going after Taiwan. Then you're going to see Russia going after Poland, or at the very least Moldova as a beginning point. And then, Latvia, Lithuania.
We can't give up on Ukraine at this point because, I mean, we're pretty much using them to field test all of our next generation weapon systems.
Actually, we're not. Most of the weapon systems that we're giving Ukraine are older weapon systems. They're begging for the new ones. But they're getting the older ones.
Yeah,
Daniel, I'm going to move along. Taking the side of Russia stuff is just, frankly, to me, disgusting. Bob in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to talk about something you mentioned yesterday about Republicans who switched parties. You said the last one was in the late 90s. I can think of two that happened since then. Jim Jeffers of Vermont.
He didn't switch parties. He just left the Republican Party. I lived in Vermont when that happened.
Oh, okay. And then Arlen Specter in April of 2009, he said the GOP was going too far. And the Democrats received him. He was well received by the Democrats. They even endorsed him for his 2012 campaign, but he died of Hodgkin's lymphoma complications.
I don't remember the details on that one, Bob, but, okay. That was 2009. That was a very different Republican Party than today's Republican Party.
Yeah. All right. The other issue is I know you're really good at messaging, I'm a Biden supporter, but I have such visceral revulsion of what's going on in Gaza, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, shouldn't we refer to Rafah as the Rafah Ghetto in order to draw a parallel with the situation of the Warsaw Ghetto? Both were the last strongholds. In both situations, the Jewish population was the last stronghold.
I get what you're saying, Bob. I just think that it's really not useful and probably dangerous, actually, to try to draw parallels between what's going on in Gaza and what happened in Poland in 1939.
Too incendiary.
it's not really historically accurate. I mean, Netanyahu is not Hitler. He has committed a war crime, and he's committing what may well be genocide. That's pretty straightforward stuff. But, we cannot diminish the size and scope of what Hitler did during World War II. I mean, it wasn't just 6 million Jews. I mean, some 40 million people died in World War II. It just threw the entire continent into chaos. I don't think that those kinds of analogies are useful. I think it's bad enough to simply say, he's committing a war crime. Not unlike the war crimes that George W. Bush committed, frankly, sadly, which I realize diminishes our moral standing. But Bob, I got to run. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday morning, a new study outlines just how bad the teacher shortage is getting all across Wisconsin after years of politicians trashing public schools.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And straight